Hi, this is Ken Kennedy.
This is Charlotte Kennedy.
And this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 196, recorded on Sunday, August 5th, 2018, and part of the 2018 Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge.
And today we're going to review a game we play fairly often called Harbor.
That's Harbor with a U. It's H-A-R-B-O-U-R. And it's by Tasty Minstrel Games. I think it says TMG on the box. That's what it stands for.
Oh. We're not used to doing this together, so we're not really smooth, like Megapodtastic or anything like that. So, okay, this game, I call it a pocketbook game because I stick it in my pocketbook and we just take it places. Even when we're brewery hopping or something like that, we've been known just to have it and people start playing with us. So it's my pocketbook game. It's turn-based and it's worker placement game. And it has no dice, which I really like because dice and I don't get along.
Yeah, Charlotte is not a dice game person. It's basically, it's card-based. So the only randomness in Harbor is the shuffling of the cards. And the cards represent buildings. So you're in this town with a harbor, and each card that you pull out, you have a stock set of cards that you start with, and the cards represent buildings, and the worker placement mechanic is to move from building to building. And each building has like a functionality, something that it does for you. You hear our cats in the background. I don't have any idea what they're doing, but they're being pretty loud about it. And a lot of the building functionality has to do with the resources in the game. There are four resources. There's wood, wood, stone, fish, and livestock. And they're traded on a exchange that... And that's how you buy the buildings. The goal of the game is when the first person has bought four buildings, the end game event is triggered. Basically, you finish that round, and then everybody, and then the game is over, and you count up the point values of the buildings. Each building has a cost, and it has a functionality, and it has a point value. The point values are for the end of the game. And so whoever has the most points wins the game at that point.
And I like it because it's ever-changing, because whenever you buy a building, the market fluctuates, and so someone else could be ready to buy another building and have a bunch of wood or whatever ready to purchase something, and then all of a sudden wood goes to almost worthless because of the fluctuating market. So depending on who you're playing with, some of our friends, you can be pretty cutthroat with it if you're paying attention to what other people have. Which I'm not very cutthroat with usually, but I've learned to be with some of our friends, which I don't think we mentioned it. There can be 1 to 4 players, and we've never played it just individually, but it's either been 2 or 4. No, we did play it 3. Remember that guy from the university?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he just started playing with us. Sometimes, it's easy to teach because he was really drunk, and he still learned how to play it.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward game. Like I said, you're moving. I mean, it's worker placement, but everybody only has one worker. It's just you move this meeple from. You can move to any building on the board. As people buy buildings, they come out of the center stock area, and then they get replaced. So there's I think it's 2 more buildings than the number of people playing. So there's a set number of buildings out in the middle, and as you buy those buildings and bring them to your deck or your little area, you replace that building. So there's always the same number of buildings out there. You can also move to a building that another player owns, but by default, if you do that, you have to pay them a resource. It could be any of them.
Unless you have something that gives you the power, not that you don't have to do that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, in a lot of games, there's like every rule has an exception, you know, based on if you have the right card or something like that. Another thing to note about the buildings is typically so buildings have functionality. They may give you resources, or they may allow you to swap one stone and get 2 wood, or swap two of something and get three of anything else. So if buildings have like, as you, when you land on them, whatever their function is, you get to do. But as I said, then also you're buying buildings to win the game. And in a lot of instances, those two things like are two sides of a scale. In other words, if a building is worth a lot of points at the end of the game, it typically doesn't have a huge amount of functionality during the game. And the buildings that have the most like crazy fancy functionality during the game often are not worth a huge number of points at the end of the game. So you're always kind of going back and forth on what you're going to do there.
So all in all, I give this one a big old thumbs up for the ease of playing and the convenience of it. Yeah. And it's pretty deep depending on, I mean, it's not the deepest thing you're ever going to play, but it's got a lot of depth to it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cards, and you see a lot of different things. Every game is different because there's so many buildings. Like I said, there's actually a one-player version of this. In effect, you're playing against kind of a robot. You know, there's a small set of rules, kind of like in the Field Commander that I was talking about the other night, where you're basically playing against a robot. I've never actually played that. I've read the rules for it, but I've never played it. But I do think that this would be a situation that, would you say the same, Charlotte, that like the two-player game is fun as well as like the 3 and 4 player games.
It is.
Yeah. You know, cause sometimes you get these.
And it's fast moving anyway. Yeah. So that's another good thing about it.
Yeah. Sometimes games just kind of get their 2-player rules tacked on at the end. And you can tell that it's kind of a stilted thing. That's not really balanced very well, but I don't think that's the case with this game. So I think we hit it. What you said, did you give it a star value? I forgot. Did you say
that? I just gave it a thumbs up. You could give it a star value. Would you rather do stars?
No, thumbs. I think thumbs up, thumbs down are better than star values because they're, you know, do you have 5 stars? Do you have 10 stars? Who knows?
I don't usually give anything a thumbs down though. So.
Yeah, we're probably not going to review games that we hate. So this one gets a thumbs up. And another good thing about this game, A, it's small. Not only, I mean, Charlotte can put it in her bag. I actually can put it in a Pargo pocket of like a pair of shorts or something if she doesn't have her bag with her or something. So it's very, very carryable. And it's only like $25. I think it's $25 on Amazon, you know, because a lot of the games, there are some very cool games out there nowadays. But, you know, when they start at like $80 and go up from there, it's like, whew, you know, that's kind of quite of a game to buy. This one's $25, so hard to beat. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up from Charlotte. So I guess that will be Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone for today. You can find it at kenzoid.com, and if you go there, you can find all my like social media linky things. And Charlotte, where are you on the social media world? What's the best place? What's the best place? I know. I didn't tell you I was going to do this.
No.
Oh, CharlotteKennedy.xyz.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
I was like, why is she looking at me like that? She's like, oh, the domain, yeah.
Yeah.
CharlotteKennedy.xyz.
Sorry, I got a little distracted on Facebook there.
So that's it for today. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.